Well, hello and welcome to episode number 81 of Virtual Team Dynamics, the All Fire podcast. My name is Francis Norman. I'm the founder and principal consultant here at All Fire. At All Fire, we specialise in helping you get the most from your virtual teams through understanding how your team members communicate and interact. On today's podcast, we're following a little bit of a pattern now, so this will be the third in the theme. We're talking about structural complexity and project virtual teams. So how the structural complexity of your project will impact the way that your project executes, and also how virtual teams have an impact on all of that. So as with all of our podcasts, there's an accompanying article on the All Fire website, so please do check us out for additional information. And while you're there, of course, sign up for our newsletter, find out a little bit more about how we may be able to help you with your business. So structural complexity is one of three main characterising forms of complexity within projects, the other two being social complexity and uncertainty complexity. So we'll talk in subsequent podcasts on each of those two subjects as well, but for this one we're going to be talking about structural complexity. What it means, how it is impacted by your virtual teams, how it impacts your virtual teams, and a few little examples as well along the way. So structural complexity really is the way in which the structure of the project or the structure of the deliverables from the project contribute to the overall complexity that's experienced within the project itself. It breaks down into a number of elements or a number of different types. So you've got the number of elements themselves, you've got the size of the project, you've got the number of contracts and by extension purchase orders within the project. You've got joint ventures and alliances which may form within the project and which may be part of the project makeup itself. And then you've got numbers of interconnected variables. So taking these one at a time, the number of elements. So this really refers to the overall physical complexity of a project deliverable. So this is how many elements go to make up the project itself. And it depends how you would classify elements and how you would describe them will really depend on the industry in which you're working. If you are, the couple of examples I give on the newsletter, on the article, one would be if your project was to design and deliver a new aircraft, there would be huge numbers of different highly interconnected elements in the physical deliverable, in the aircraft itself. You've got wings, you've got electronic systems, you've got all sorts of different things that all come together within that project, which make it a complex project in terms of its deliverables and the number of elements. So that if you wanted to scale all of these things, the number of elements in an aircraft project would be very high, which would make that part of it relatively complex. Doesn't, of course, mean that the whole project is complex, but that part of it would be. A contrast to that would be, for instance, if you were designing and building a road or some large piece of physical infrastructure where realistically it's lots of the same thing. You've got a long stretch of tarmac, you've got all of the earthworks and drainage and everything else that goes with it, but fundamentally it's one long element with various contributing parts to it. So you can see there the differences between the two sides. The second one to consider is the size of the project itself. Now there are many different metrics that you can use when you're looking to measure your size of your project. You could be looking at the dollar value or the pounds value or whatever your chosen currency is, but you could be looking at the actual capital value of the project, which would, of course, include everything from upfront labour costs, materials, land, licences, and everything else that goes with it. So that would be one way you could measure it. Another one might be to look at the size of the deliverable. So some projects may be measured simply on, well, simply isn't really fair. Some projects may be measured on their dollar values. Other projects may be measured on the size of the deliverables and the size of what it's actually going to produce. So the two examples I give on the article here would be a large IT project may have a relatively modest capital budget, a few million dollars perhaps. A lot of that is going to be spent on labour for the programmers and for the testers and for all the people involved in actually developing and coding the project. But it could be considered large and it could be considered to be complex because of how that translates in that industry, where the other side could be a large land subdivision or another civil type infrastructure project where it has a large capital value. But the actual size of the project is just really dictated by the scale of a couple of purchase orders or the scale of the cost of the land or whatever that, that goes into it. So again, the size is not necessarily measured always the same way and doesn't always give you the same outputs. The third one from the structural complexity perspective then would be the numbers of contracts that would form the project. You could have projects here where you have large numbers of contracts or purchase orders. Contracts typically are more complicated in and of themselves because you've got more factors involved, whereas purchase orders typically is buying goods or buying services. Contracts include a lot more deliverable type complexity in there. So a couple of examples on there. One could be an IT project where you may only have a very small number of contracts. One maybe for hardware, one for your networking systems, one for software, one or two for a few other things, which would make that one relatively small. While back to the aircraft example from earlier on, if you're designing and building a new aircraft, you could have hundreds or potentially thousands of individual contracts involved. These could be contracts for all the different parts of the aircraft if it's being made by multiple partners. You could have the wings with one organisation. You could have the fuselage somewhere else, the wiring looms, the wheels, the tyres, the landing systems, the radar, the everything that goes into the, even down to things like who provides you the contract for the paint and all of the other things that you would need for it. So on the one hand there, you've got the IT projects with a relatively small number of contracts. On the other, you've got the aircraft industries with high numbers of contracts. So you can see, again, more contracts, more complicated. More complicated translates eventually into more complex. So then the other couple of types of contributors to structural complexity would be if you have joint ventures and alliances within the project. Now, joint ventures and alliances come and go. They have periods where they are very fashionable, if that's the right expression, but where they are certainly quite popular within a particular industry. And then they'll be used for a while, and then there'll be a few problem projects. People will go back to more conventional projects where the risks are more clearly ascribed, and it'll cycle through again, and then they'll go back at some point into the future. They'll go back to doing the joint ventures and alliances. But joint ventures and alliances add a lot to the complexity of a project. If you've got one single organisation executing the project, then they can do it to their own systems. Everyone works for them. They've got the same way of managing everything. All their quality systems are the same and everything else. Whereas every time you add in another alliance partner, you add in more preferences, more different systems, more different ways of employing and engaging the workforce and so forth. So each of those new joint ventures adds lots and lots and lots more interfaces, new people to work with, new locations and so forth that all go to make that model more complicated than a single contract type of a model. Equally there as well, to add to the complex nature of these, if you get to the situation where you've got partners in a joint venture or an alliance who've not worked together previously, or even worse, who've not worked on an alliance or a joint venture previously, then it's going to be even harder because these different partners will come and have to learn how to do all of this lot before they can even get started. Then the fifth one of these is the interconnected variables. So this translates to a certain extent back to the number of elements. But if you were to think of the variables in terms of a Gantt chart, for instance, you've got lots of variables, you've got lots of different bars on your Gantt chart, lots of different elements on your Gantt chart, and it's how all of those lot come together. So if you go back to the aircraft example, then it's bringing your wings together with your fuselage, together with your landing gear, your wiring looms, your avionics systems, your engines and so forth, bringing them all together at the right place, at the right time, in the right way, where they all fit, where everything works, where it all hangs together, for want of a better expression, adds greatly to the challenges of interconnecting your project and interconnecting all of your bits and pieces, making your project again more complex, more complicated. So how all this lot fits then with virtual teams is that every one of those where you have people who are not co-located adds another element of virtuality to your project structure. So if you've got your wings being made in one place and your engines being made in another, and everybody is working for the same company or working under an alliance or working through subcontracts, then you've suddenly got all of these different interfaces with all of this additional complexity that comes from the people within all of those teams. So you can see that just this one facet of complexity is in itself quite complex. Each one of these different factors that I've described is really a continuum. So you've got low at one end, low complexity, low complication, where you may have just a couple of elements, a small project, small number of contracts, right through on each one individually, where you can scale it up to higher numbers of whichever your variable is. And as you add more and more to each of these different variables, your project in itself becomes more and more complex, more interfaces, more contracts and so forth, until it really is an extremely complex, complicated animal to try and manage. So hopefully this podcast has been of interest and there's been something useful in here for you. If there has, please do check us out. We're at www.ulfire.com.au. And of course, we'd really like you to subscribe to the podcast and leave some feedback on iTunes if you get the opportunity. And I look forward to speaking to you in future episodes. Thank you.